from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, we have updates from the first five-day week of the 101st Legislative Session. It's Legislative Day 17 at the state capitol in Pierre, South Dakota. Today, legislators back a property tax fund, appropriators advance a bill making 2023 sales tax cut permanent, a committee hears debates on asking voters to approve online sports gambling, and more. It's Friday, February 6th. Here are today's stories. A bill creating a homeowner tax reduction fund unanimously passes through the Senate Taxation Committee. Senate Bill 125 creates a fund designated toward property tax relief. It specifies dollars in the fund can't be transferred to the state's general fund. Senator Randy Dybert is the bill's prime sponsor. He says it's the first step towards meaningful relief for South Dakota homeowners.
This is the first step in the process to develop the fund. The second step would be to find funds, dollars to put in here. And the third step would be to determine how to distribute it. So one step at a time, this is the base step.
It requires the Department of Revenue distribute property tax relief. The department opposes that idea, calling it impractical during public testimony. The idea for the fund originated in a legislative summer study that looked into the property tax issue. Legislators on the study unanimously supported the idea. SB 125 heads to the Senate floor. A bill that throws a wrench in some property tax relief plans has survived its first steps in the Appropriations Committee. The proposal would make plans to pay for property tax relief with sales taxes much harder. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
In a political climate hungry for tax relief, the proposal is fronted by Senate Pro Tem Chris Carr. It would remove the sundown on South Dakota's sales tax holiday. That measure, approved in 2023, dropped the sales tax by 0.3% and is on the cusp of expiring. It's not the first time Carr has made efforts to work on the statewide sales tax.
It's also something that impacts everybody. So if we're going to provide relief in some way, shape, or form, if we're collecting more than we're using, then it should go back to all folks that are paying into it, that are buying food and clothing and all items that sales tax is charged.
However, Carr says leveraging sales tax to provide the much-debated property tax relief is fundamentally unfair to non-property owners. That mindset is shared by Senate Appropriations Chair Ernie Otten.
When you look at it as tax policy and we start sniffing around on, well, let's send it as relief for property tax, I totally agree. That is just plain bad tax policy.
This philosophy is not universal in the Capitol, though. Doug Abraham with the State Retailers Association says that's their preferred path to property tax relief.
I understand good senator has a different theory on tax policy. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but what he mentioned, and to kind of use that in a different light, you're right, everybody pays sales tax. But a disproportionate amount of homeowners share the burdens for local taxes that are not paid by those individuals who are not homeowners.
With that in mind, the upcoming floor debate will provide insight into the bigger picture of lawmakers' feelings toward the property tax question. The bill advanced on a 6-3 vote. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
South Dakota's prohibition on new cigar bars could go up in smoke if one bill becomes law. House Bill 1215 gives local governments the power to issue licenses for cigar bars and establishes some rules around them. It allows county commissioners to issue a single license within their jurisdiction. Municipalities can issue one license for every 25,000 residents. Local governments have the power to revoke those licenses for violations. The bill also outlines some general guidelines for the facilities, including proper ventilation and solid structure. A cigar bar would be defined as a place where at least 10% of the annual gross income comes from cigar sales. Representative Will Mortensen is the House sponsor. He says the bill leaves a lot of things up to local control.
I would say a lot of cities won't want to do this. They'll say, hey, we're good. We've been operating this way since the smoking ban took effect. We're fine. That's their choice. The cities that want to, though, can. They can set the parameters, set the fees, and then people, again, can choose to go or not.
Others spoke in support, including Senator Chris Carr.
It's not about changing the broader public health laws. Those laws stay in place. What this bill does is recognize that a narrowly defined cigar bar is different than a general public space. It's a place where adults can choose whether or not to participate.
Currently, South Dakota operates under a no-smoke law that bans smoking tobacco products in public places. That law included an exemption for cigar bars that existed prior to 2009, of which there are only a handful statewide. HB 1215 builds off that exemption and uses similar language, including the 10% revenue threshold. Jennifer Stalley represents the American Cancer Society and American Heart Association. She was a lone opponent, saying the exemption was made at the time specifically for Stogie's Cigar Lounge in Sioux Falls.
So while I agree that there is an exemption in the current law, it was intended to be a very narrow exemption.
She estimates this law expands the exemption to a potential 66 more exemptions for counties and 14 to 15 more in municipalities. Lawmakers in the House State Affairs Committee approved the bill 11-1. It heads to the House floor. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. Property tax relief could come in the form of online sports betting. A Senate committee is advancing a resolution that asks voters if they support the prospect in November. Senate Joint Resolution 504 asks voters if they support expanding online sports betting statewide with casinos that partner with Deadwood. Revenue would be split 90% heading to property tax relief and 10% towards Deadwood. If passed, the legislature would have authority to create rules around sports wagering. John Pappas is the senior advisor for GeoComply, a company he says works with regulated gaming operators to ensure strict compliance with federal and state law. He says their data shows South Dakotans are interested in online sports wagering.
People by the thousands are leaving and crossing the border into Iowa, primarily, somewhat into Wyoming, but more into Iowa. 93% of all border crossings go into Iowa, and they're literally just coming across the border, placing wagers, and coming back.
Pappas says that activity has a monetary impact.
Iowa is benefiting from the current status quo in South Dakota, and South Dakota is not receiving any of the benefit of a regulated market.
Proponents also say South Dakota's missing out on cash due to other recent developments. Event prediction markets that offer contracts like sports wagers are becoming more popular. Proponents also say companies like Kalshi and Polymarket are unregulated in South Dakota, but allow users to place money on prediction outcomes, such as the winner of a game. Proponents argue a state-regulated alternative would keep consumers safer. However, opponents say the state could be enabling highly addictive gaming to youth. That includes Norman Woods, the director of South Dakota Family Voice.
The biggest segment of people with problems with sports betting addiction is 18 to 34. I know that currently they're estimating around 29% of sports bettors have a problem.
He poses the question at hand to the committee.
Do you want in? Do you want there to be a state interest in that activity? Do you want to be bringing in state revenue from it? We would suggest it's a poor way to fund state government and a poor way to reduce property taxes.
SJR 504 narrowly advances to the Senate floor following a 4-3 Senate Taxation Committee vote. A committee is unanimously advancing a bill providing for prescribed burning of state-owned land by someone owning adjoining land. Backers of HB 1001 say it resolves a years-long issue backing landowners from safely conducting prescribed burns near the Missouri River. These burns would help against the spread of woody plants, particularly eastern red cedar. Officials say each year, ranchers lose thousands of acres of grassland to the spread of these plants. You can learn more about the spread and impact of the eastern red cedar in an episode of South Dakota Focus called Green Glacier. Watch it at sdpb.org/focus. Governor Larry Rodin is signing a batch of bills into law. The governor recently gave his approval to six bills, including a measure requiring ballots to clarify whether questions were proposed by initiative or the legislature. So far, Rodin has signed seven bills into law, though dozens more are on his desk as lawmakers continue working at the Capitol. There's a massive workload in the state capitol this session, but legislative leadership remains confident they can put aside their differences and get the job done. Senate Assistant Majority Leader Carl Perry, while acknowledging the challenge, confidently quips, "That's why they pay us the big bucks."
Some of our bills, if you look at them, they may be trivial to one person, but they might be very important to another. We have important bills out there that people are really concerned about. That's what we're trying to do. We don't want to get hung up on what we're doing wrong. What we want to do is we want to get hung up on what we're doing right. We're doing a lot of right things.
Perry tallies over 1,300 drafted bills and 570 total bills this legislative body will need to work through before session gavels out. That's more bills than last year. Some South Dakota lawmakers argue that cell-cultured protein, also dubbed fake meat by some, is an attack on agriculture and should be banned. Others maintain they don't like the meat, but consumers have the right to buy the product if they choose to. Lawmakers in the state Senate debated a bill labeling the products as adulterated, thus banning it. Here's the Senate floor debate in their own words.
Senator Nelson.
Adulterated means unsafe. The government's approval
of cultivated protein food relied solely on data and studies submitted by the producing company, Upside Foods, the very entity that stands to profit from this product. No independent long-term studies were conducted. Fellow senators, in this approval process, the wolf was allowed to guard the hen house. Does that give you confidence that this product is 100% safe? Adulterated means unwholesome. Put this word into your head as you consider this. The cells used to make this cultivated product are immortal. Immortal cells are a population of cells commonly used in cancer research that do not undergo normal cellular death and instead divide forever. Why would we invite this product into our state when South Dakota already produces wholesome, nutrient-rich, and safe meat raised by our neighbors, supporting our rural communities, and serving as a cornerstone for our economy?
Senator Duhamel.
My fellow senators, I stand in opposition to this bill. Our beef industry is important to South Dakota, and that's why I think it's so dangerous to attack the same food safety system that assures that South Dakota beef is safe. This is an attack on the USDA and FDA. Voting no is not an endorsement of this product. The consumer should have the choice of this federally approved product. But the overarching reason, we don't ban products in South Dakota because we don't like them. We allow products that are legal and deemed safe, even though we don't like them. Let the consumer decide, and I predict this will never be a threat in South Dakota.
Senator Davis.
There are some comments made about the free market and letting consumers choose and all this worry that our beef producers are under attack. Give the consumers a little credit. They are choosing beef overwhelmingly. These products have been on the market. They peaked in 21, and they have been tanking ever since because consumers are smart. Consumers want real beef, and that's because they had the ability to choose. They had the ability to go to their local beef producer and buy a quarter or buy a half, and they want to keep doing that. What are we scared of? Banning a product that's not even for sale in this state right now? All we're going to do is open ourselves to a lawsuit. I talked to my dad about this. And you know what? He was so upset. He goes, well, what's going to happen? You're just going to, who pays for that lawsuit? Well, your taxpayer dollars, Dad. Consumers are smart. They don't want this junk, and I don't either. But I'm not, we don't need this. We don't need to waste taxpayer money on a lawsuit. And that's exactly what will happen.
Senator Foster.
So we've heard two sides to this. Well, I'm here to say that there's a third side. The community that I represent sent me out here to be a voice of a worldview that largely goes neglected here. It's a worldview that, by no choice of our own, we have been disconnected from our food source, and we've been fighting like heck to reconnect that. This isn't about just free market or consumer choice, because for my community, all it would take is one federal subsidy, and that's all we have. We have been disconnected from our food source. Commodities have been forced among us. And that's what this will become, is a commodity forced on my people. And yeah, it is sad that hot dogs are legal. I mean, my people were once proud warriors hunting buffalo. And for those of you who still hunt and know or have cattle and know what it's like to be connected to your food source, there is a spiritual relationship to that. This isn't just about economics. And when asked, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of leaving a world to my grandchildren's grandchildren that is unrecognizable. We need to protect our food source. It has already been adulterated, and we're fighting that. You look at the subsidies that we're fighting now, soda, hot dogs. We're sent here to protect a way of life. This is one of the most important things that we can be talking about right now, because it opens the floodgate to where our life, our food source, is going to be unrecognizable. Vote yes, and don't eat hot dogs tonight.
House Bill 1077 passes out of the Senate on a narrow 18-16 vote and heads to the governor's desk.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
A man who once served as a leader of NATO is the featured speaker at this year's Augustana Bow Forum. Jim Stavridis is a retired four-star U.S. Navy admiral who served as NATO Supreme Allied Commander from 2009 to 2013. He'll deliver a talk focusing on geopolitics in the 21st century at the Elman Center in Sioux Falls on March 26th. Tickets are available starting February 11th. The Bow Forum is an annual event hosted by Augustana and the Center for Western Studies. Past speakers include Neil deGrasse Tyson and George H.W. Bush. The Department of Ag and Natural Resources is looking for public feedback on its annual report for surface water quality assessment. Officials say this report is required under the Federal Clean Water Act and is used by the state to identify impaired water bodies in the state. Among the things included in the report is a list of lakes and rivers that need analyzing for the amount of pollution they can receive while still maintaining water quality standards. 191 water bodies in the state need that analysis, according to the state. You can find the full report on the DANR's website. Public comment is due March 9th. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.